Okay, welcome to the systemd roundtable with our core maintainers. I guess let's do introductions. Everybody say who they are and who they work for, and then we get to questions. Just raise your hand and then I'll come running and do you in queue order.
My name is Luca. As I mentioned in the talk before, I work as a software engineer in Microsoft in the Azure organization.
So hello, I'm Mike. I'm about to
Who's that one?
So hello, I'm Mike. I'm about to start my bachelor's next month, actually, in council. And I'm, of course, unaffiliated, joined in 2023. I'm mainly working on like Pit1, logging the basic stuff.
So my name is Bicek. I work in Red Hat.
I'm Lennart, and I work for Microsoft, and I do systemd stuff.
Let's put this away.
I'm Dan. I work at Meta, and I work on all kinds of systemd stuff, but I also maintain mostly the integration tests and the image builder MakeOSI.
Hello, I'm Yu Wata, and from Red Hat. I'm working on NetworkD and UWD. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the intro. So now audience participation. Who's got a question?
Easy questions only.
What is your next project that will upset everyone that you have?
Well, the home directory is maybe a kernel. We want to do a kernel system.
I mean, his work mostly, like Particle OS, you know, this distribution that is like a meta distribution, I guess. I mean, he works on Meta, so it's a meta distribution. which is like, with Particle OS, we kind of want to put everything together that we worked on, and it changes things, how things used to work, right? Like, for example, because it makes it very clear that the separation between Etsy and /user exists, right? So that Etsy is redundant and can be reset, but this will probably affect maintainers sooner or later, because as people actually start using systems this way, they will probably be pissed off for a moment, because Etsy is going to be empty by default, right? So you only will ship, like, will have files in Etsy if you change configuration, but not necessarily when you install this thing for the first time. So maybe that's going to upset people, because, I believe systems like this will show up sooner or later in everybody's environment, because the idea of having, the system set up like this has already transcended beyond our opinions, I guess, because SUSE, for example, has been working on this and things like that, so people might be annoyed about that, yeah.
Maybe another thing that we mentioned it in your talk is the setuid binaries, trying to kill all of that, because there's a lot of stuff like the PAM thing that, of course, Torsten and the other are working to try to remove, but that, of course, requires running systemd. So if PAM requires a systemd unit in order to run, that will probably upset people. But yeah, it's a very good idea for all the reasons you mentioned it, of course.
And it's probably not just users that would get annoyed. We also annoy, I guess, developers, because we go around asking people to implement support for reading their configuration from /user instead of Etsy. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, this is something that most low-level software that reads the config file from Etsy would need to be changed to support reading it from /user as well, /etsy/run, maybe a combination of them both. So the easiest way to make our stuff work nicely is for software projects to support that. So we go around asking them all to support that, which might annoy people as well, I guess.
Oh, it did.
So we are making a small effort to take over the file system hierarchy as the official specification, starting with Fedora. We need more hearts and plus ones on the PR to make that happen.
Are those enough questions for answers for you? Next question.
Man, that speed was really not like you're coming fast. Nice. I have a question regarding dog fooding. I guess this will be part of the talk later on. How can like distributions integrate more of the systemd tools, and which one would you like to see? Because it's good if like systemd people use their own stuff, but I think there are some parts of the system ecosystem which are not widely used yet.
I think I can answer that one first. There's work ongoing in GNOME that will require, I believe, user DBD and also systemd for this. So user DBD is not a component that has been historically used a lot outside of people configuring it for themselves, but now I believe it will become required for GNOME. So that it will be something to integrate in the system, in the distribution via GNOME.
And I think that some of the capabilities that systemd provides, they start being really used sometimes only years later. And this shift, it was always like this. And I don't know, like when systemd appeared, a lot of stuff was still being run, started using sysvalini scripts, and it took 8 years maybe or something like that for Fedora to stop using those scripts altogether, and we switched to use sysusers essentially this year, or 8 months ago or so. And those things just take time. So I think that the dog fooding, we don't want this to happen immediately because the systemd tools need some time to develop to the proper level of nice user experience, and then the switch needs to happen, and then we need some time for the stragglers to catch up, and so I think this is just an ongoing process.
So I have no illusion that like it's always going to be that some distributions take some parts and other distributions are going to take other parts earlier than everybody else. I think this is to be expected. From our perspective, to make this faster, the distributions can play around with this and can see what the impacts of all the components are. Is again ParticleOS, like this little meta distribution that basically for us is, you know, because it's not a new distribution, right? It uses the Fedora packages or the Arch Linux packages or the Debian packages and just puts them together in the way how we think it should be put together. It basically makes it very easy to stay within the distribution of choice framework, but at the same time, try out how all the things break in fantastic new ways if you actually go for the full implementation of everything. So, yeah, ParticleOS is absolutely a tool for me to dog food my own stuff, but it's also supposed to be a way how other people can dog food it, and ultimately I want it to be something how other people can build their own completely secure operating systems the way like how I envisioned in my earlier talk. So ParticleOS is all about dog fooding, not just from us but for everybody else too, hopefully.
So maybe not also.
Yeah, one more quick mention is that, so like Zbigniew said, he has been doing a lot of work in Fedora to use sysusers and stuff, but we haven't really seen that coming from the other distributions yet. And I think that's one of the easiest ways that you can incrementally adopt systemd features is sysusers and temp files. Right? The fewer post-installation scripts you have in packages that are instead replaced by temp files or sysusers files, the better for us, like the better our stuff works, and hopefully the better maintaining your packages works, because you get fewer scripts that are executed on package installation, and you get more like declarative configuration, and that is like generally a very easy change to make on a per package level instead of having to do a all or nothing switch at the distribution level.
That also starts with the upstream project. So upstream project starting to ship sysusers and tmp5.t snippets. And if you are a maintainer of an upstream project that requires, a service with a particular user, fixed user to run, do start shipping a sysuser file, and then distribution will slowly pick it up.
So on this topic, I'd like to do a quick shout out to my fellow Arch users and contributors. And so if you know me, I'm not really into the ParticleOS. Unlike my fellow systemd maintainers, I'm more of a traditional Arch user, and we really need to bring RC systemds in the testing repository. It massively extends our RSC coverage. We used to have that, and we, for the recent 3 versions, I think we no longer have that. It's in the maintainer's private repo, and I think it sucks. We just need more coverage.
Yeah.
Field tests.
That's a very good point, and I think that's the other angle from the question that was asked, and I fully agree. I try to get DRCs in Debian Unstable and testing, but yeah, we need more of that. When we do release candidates, if you're a distribution maintainer and you have a testing pocket, please put them there, because that's the only way we find all the bugs, and we'll see more in the Dogfooding talk.
Yeah, so I got a question about like the boot process. So I like really liked SDBoot when you announced it, because as a longtime Grub hater, like I love a replacement. But I want to know, like, what is your plans? And like, I haven't seen SDBoot like have the penetration that I hoped that it would have. I would like, do you have plans to continue to refine the from UEFI handoff to prompt, or well, to init one, right? That part, because that's such a black box and a huge pain, right?
Well, I mean, I think to some level, because the at Red Hat, the boot team is kind of conservative, right? Like, and they don't like subscribe to our ideas regarding booting so much, and everybody else seems to follow them to a large degree. I think yes, the adoption isn't there where it should be, but I think, you know, we get it through other ways, right? Like, because everybody's adopting UKIs now. Like, so even if you, yeah, I'm pretty sure we'll break that. Like, we'll crack the Grub thing as well. I don't know. I haven't run Grub in a decade or something myself, right? It's not a, like, I mean, if you want to, like, if I don't even understand why people do this to themselves. But
people have other use cases. Let's be nice. So, but I think one angle there is that we do have SDBoot available in various distributions, not as default, but as an alternative. I think SUSE were the first one to ship it in MicroS, I believe. Debian Stable now has assigned systemdboot as well as an alternative options. So I think that is what we should try. You know, distribution developers should try and have this systemdboot as an alternative option there, so that user can pick it if they want. I think many do. I think only Debian and SUSE do for secure boot signing, though. And that's something would be nice, for example, Ubuntu to see do at some point.
But let's just say we are way further ahead and with all of this than we were like two years ago or 1 year ago, right? Like, because it is signed now in SUSE, right? Like, initially people told us Microsoft will never do this. I always found that really weird, given that I work for Microsoft, that they say this, but yes, it wasn't true. They did. It's signed now. It's not signed on Fedora or something like this, but I'm pretty sure. I mean, your company, or well, not your ex-company, has a lot of people working on Fedora and systemd. Maybe they can fill in that gap too.
There's ongoing discussion in Fedora on signing SDBoot. I'm not up to date.
So the discussion, the state in Fedora is that systemd boot will be signed, and the last steps that will take a few days have been in preparation for the last few months.
So a few more days then.
Yes. Maybe next question.
Just going back to what you were talking about, SIS users and how we should all be using it. We tried to use it in Cockpit for a while, just from the standpoint of an upstream project. It conflicts really badly in a lot of cases with image-based systems.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, you know, you build the image and then you have a certain package set installed and these scripts get run and then these UIDs get created, and then we put files on the file system in the image that are owned by a particular user, and then the next time you build the image, maybe the UIDs creep. I'm just kind of wondering, like, what is the official thing that people are supposed to be doing who want to do stuff like this? Because it's not clear.
So, oh no, please.
Well, but this is a problem that is created by the way that the systems you are talking about are being built. This is just something happening at the wrong time, and it's a self-inflicted pain. Not a problem with SIS users, it's a problem with hard-coding the definition of file ownership that is in a build output in a way that where it changes between build outputs. So
the solution that we have for that is to combine SIS users and TMP files. And then your, I don't know what you CH on, but if something in var, for example, that's done on first boot, not when you build the image. And that is the solution that we have, and whether it's used, it works.
So I mean, part of this, the reason why this isn't a problem in Particle OS is because the people who work on Particle OS subscribes to this idea that we have hermetic slash user, right? And that stuff in Etsy and var is created on first boot, basically at the same time where sysuses runs, right? And stuff in slash user is generally not owned by non-root users, right? Like, there are some cases where this is. Yeah, so there's PolicyKit or something?
No, PolicyKit I fixed. PolicyKit is no longer owned by...
Okay, but anyway, I'm pretty sure that the strategy is, as we get rid of Zuid and Esgid, there's... implies also getting rid of the ownerships there, because why would you do this at that point? And at that point, you're in this beautiful situation where everything where you need to have files chowned are in var, and maybe to some point in Etsy, and that can be done after sysuses runs and the problem doesn't exist. Hence, I think what you're encountering there is an artifact about the way how OS tree-based operating systems see the world, that they do not start with an empty var.
Sorry, can we have a microphone there? Thank you.
The TLDR then is like every file in the operating system image should be owned by root only, ever.
Absolutely, and not be Zuid, Esgid, or anything.
To be clear, on the images that you ship, not the ones that are installed on your system, of course, right?
Yeah, speaking of the UID thing, like, do you have an overview of how many remaining setuid root binaries are in like a standard system that we still need to fix or get rid of?
So,
I mean, this did run zero, but there is check past WD and whatnot.
So the man said five. So we have, I fixed Polkit in Git main, not being released yet, but so Polkit was one because it needed a setuid binary to go and authenticate your service. And that is fixed by via socket activator unit now, but that's in Git main. Torsten has been working a lot on that stuff, and other people, SUSE, for example, he has a new, what is the name? Unix PWXSD, yes. So that replaces the PAM CH group CHID stuff with, again, socket activator unit. And those were the two main ones. Of course, they're sudo, but you should not use sudo, you should use run zero. But yeah, so things are improving. There's a few more, and again, thanks to the SUSE folks, they're doing a lot of work there.
Yeah, so I have a generic question about like contributing to systemd. Like, in your opinion, like, which feature deserves to be in systemd and which doesn't? Like, for example, right, image-based operating systems are probably like superior or something, but we know that there are tons of users of traditional operating systems out there. So if somebody comes up with a feature which says, oh, this improves a tiny bit of my experience for like a traditional operating system, do you see it as a worthy feature for systemd, or should he go somewhere else?
That is a very good question. I keep asking myself the question as well all the time, like, where do we draw the line? What belongs in systemd and what doesn't? And this has shifted my take on this over time, right? Like, I would never, like, you know, when we added the bootloader, like SDBoot, for example, to systemd, I wasn't of the opinion myself. Nowadays, I think it was the absolute right decision, and it's not necessary, and it's good that way. But yeah, so the answer to your question hence shifts, will shift as well, right? Like, but in general, you know, let's say, at least me personally, and I think many people on the maintainers team generally share my take on this as well, maybe in... not 100%, but at least 70%. You know, we are like, systemd is about like moving the OS to the next level and not to the last level, right? So it always has to be like forward looking. And so, you know, does something have a future? This is something we would want to invest in. Does something look like it doesn't have a future? I would always be very conservative. But it also has other implications, right? Like, if it's in systemd, is it something that the systemd people are willing to maintain, right? Like, do we have somebody on the admin team, on the core maintenance team who's willing to commit enough resources so that it can stay? So, they, like, it, to say it differently, really depends on the individual feature, right? If you want to know if we would merge this, just ask us, like submit a PR or just an issue or something and ask if we're interested. Like, but I mean, I'm pretty sure that you have something specific in mind. What was it?
Not really, to be honest, right? But I mean, thing is, like, are we only interested in the features which are like forward-looking, as you are saying, and move us towards the future, or we are also interested in the features which bridge the gap between the traditional system and this bright future?
So, you know, the way I always see things, you know, I realize that in a lot of cases, people do a race to the bottom thing in the sense that they look at how this the way works right now and then design the new system based on that, trying to abstract it, have backends or whatever for that kind of stuff. I really disagree with that approach. I always think we need to first think about where we want to take it, and then figure out because compatibility matters, how do we do the glue so that you can make the current stuff work well enough the new way so that it's actually deployable right away, right? But for me, it's always essential have the like think about the next steps, think about the next five steps, even if we're not going to deliver the next five step tomorrow, at least in your head have an idea where you want to take this, right? So if you suggest a feature where that's not possible in any way to think about that this has a future in like how operating systems are built, then it's probably a no. But if you can design, like express this in a way where you say this is the big picture where we want to go to map it to current systems, we need to make these little tiny changes so that it can also model that, then it's probably much more likely that it's a yes, right? And there's also the other thing, by the way, it's about, you know, we're probably never going to add features that are very specific to very few use cases. So while a feature never needs to cover everything, right, like we add desktop stuff, for example, HomeD stuff is never going to be relevant in embedded devices so much, right? So you also need to keep in mind that you have a sufficiently large subset of a system user base would have to use this to be relevant, right? So I don't know, does that answer your question?
Hi, we are from Penguintronics and mostly embedded use cases with systemd. And one of my questions is, when it comes to embedded, it's mostly ARM 64 based systems, and those systems mostly don't have an DTPM, so a direct DPM attached to it. And they do have this trust zone, secure enclave, and there we do deploy Opti. And Leonard, as you said in your beginning of the talk, security, it's avoiding complexity, and therefore we don't deploy an FTPM stack. Now my question is, what do you consider for embedded use cases? Do we need to deploy an FTPM use or an FTPM firmware to have a secure enclave?
So my take on the whole TPM situation is, you know, if systemd does TPM but the firmware doesn't, it's not useless, but it's borderline useless, right? Like, because, you know, if you want to have a measured boot, then you need a measured boot, right? Like, so ideally the hook where it starts, the root of trust where it starts needs to be in the CPU, right? So from our systemd side of things, we cannot make decisions for you because we do not control, not even remotely, what the CPUs do during the initial boot phase, right? So this choice is hence made by you for you by Qualcomm, whoever else builds your chips. But in general, like from our systemd specific, we are very allergic in having to add like 500 different ways how security enclaves work, right? So I can already tell you we're not going to do that, right? So, but my understanding is at this point is even if your system does not have a TPM, Opti and things like this give you enough to emulate a TPM, and that's good enough for us, right? Like, and this is what I always would tell manufacturers, right? I mean, I don't care if it's a TPM or if it's not a TPM. TPM is an API. It's not a chip. It's an API. If you give me, at the time where we take over, a TPM-compatible API, we are fine. But I think it's, like, I know, for example, AMD asked us to support, like, these weird other measurement stuff that they use for confidential computing. We actually merged a patch there, but I'm very allergic to adding this to user space, right? Like, because... who knows what AMD or Intel or whatever are going to do next year? Like, and particularly Intel's killing like all TDX and whatnot every half year, almost as aggressively as Google's killing products. So I don't know. For us, it's like it's TPM, it's your API. It might maybe shit, right? Like, there's bad parts about it. It's complex and stuff like this. But actually, it's not that shit that we wouldn't want to support it, right? Like, it's UFI. UFI has misdesigns, but in general, it's actually kind of fine. And I think TPM is in the same territory. So yeah, go for TPM, and when you have some other security enclave, try to find ways to map things to it. But the closer you stay to TPMs, the more of our infrastructure is just going to work for you, because you know, systemd PCIOLA, for example, has an understanding of the early boot phases. If your early boot phase is something that is not TPM, then it's always going to be messy.
Yeah. Last question, then we...
Is the project aging like a fine wine, or are there any major parts that you would like help reworking or that you would like to redo? Like
fine cheese.
I mean, it's definitely delicious. Like every open source project, we have too few maintainers, too few reviewers. Believing that systemd was special in that regard, I think that's a mistake. Everybody is short on that. And if you ask me what I won't want is more reviewers, right? Like, and that basically means, in particularly the big companies, to actually pay people full time to do this kind of stuff. But in general, I think most of the parts of systemd are kind of well covered. I always find it interesting, like the fact that people choose different parts of systemd and use them heavily. Things that I would always have assumed that most of the people use the same set of packages, and then other people use all of them or something like this. But interestingly, like from the feedback we get, basically all of the parts are used by people, but they always use different subsets of it, which I find quite interesting.
Yeah. Sorry, we are out of time, I believe.
Just one comment from the outside. I think the health of a project, for me at least, is when you see a lot of big internal refactorings that improve the API and that like change, improve, for example, how you clean up resources and so on. And I think systemd is doing this on a regular basis, and that is a good sign of health, because it means people have the drive to actually change and improve the API and not just pile features on top, like, because that's a bad situation when you just merge features but you don't actually care about the internal. Yep. Changes in internal API. And I think that's a good sign for being a healthy project.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, basically, if you want to know which one the bad parts are, just do a good analysis.
Sorry, we need really to cut for the next talk. So, thank you all for joining the panel, and thanks for the questions.